Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you having sex?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm fuck your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
What up? Earthlings, greetings. How you doing? Happy Friday. Welcome to another exciting, arousing episode of Guys We Hugged.
It's the anti-slut-shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to the show.
Get your Zyrtec. Oh boy, those flowers is out. I am sniffing. Okay, if you want to email us, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com and make the subject line something catchy, such as this woman's. I like Anne Frank roleplay and being pooped on.
I feel like there was a years ago some other kind of Holocaust
yes.
roleplay that we talked about.
Yes, there was.
Well, it's a very sexual thing.
Yeah, it was a black woman who wrote in and she said she called herself Black Anne Frank. And I remember she came to our show at the comedy store. She's like, yo, it's me, Black Anne Frank. I'm like, what up, girl?
Right.
Yeah. It was fun. Hi, Corinne and Christina. I've listened to every episode and knew I had to write in when you asked about weird fetishes. I have two of them. I am in...
This feels like we're being punked.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that they would word it this way.
Well, this is what she says. I'm into poopy buttholes and Anne Frank Holocaust role play. I like to be pooped on. Being pooped on by my partner is the ultimate form of closeness. Poop comes from the most visceral central part of your body. This is an act that most people keep private at all costs. And so to me, being pooped on is a sign of trust and intimacy. It is also, sorry, I'm laughing. This is so funny. It's also just simply amusing. Wow.
I don't believe you.
My partner has taken a shit on me on our apartment balcony and in Airbnb bathrooms. It's our special thing. Furthermore, I also enjoy sitting on his lap while he's taking a shit. Again, a unique form of intimacy only he and I share. Yeah, maybe they are lying.
There's something about the way it's written that is
it's little... It's too cash.
It's a little silly, and quite frankly, I just don't believe you.
I also like to periodically open up his butt cheeks and slap them into my face.
Auntie.
You, girl, you gotta get pink eye.
Yeah.
When I'm in a bad mood, he'll ask, want some poopy butt?
Well, I'm glad you found each other.
And I clap his butt cheeks into my face, enjoying the faint shit smell. Okay, kind of, I can, you know how, like, I love the smell of gasoline. Maybe it's kind of like that. He enjoys the sound it makes. There is something so comforting about his faint shit smell. It sounds a little too cash. Secondly, I enjoy role playing that I am Anne Frank and that he is a Nazi soldier and that in order to be released from the train to Auschwitz, I have to let him face fuck me. Yeah, that could be fun.
I like how in comparison to the poopy butthole, this feels tame.
Yeah,
like this is
unbelievable.
From a comedic standpoint, you should have flipped these two because this one is now boring.
Right. I've always been interested in World War II and find German culture as well as the psychology of conformity to be fascinating. My partner has a World War II Nazi costume that he bought from Western Europe, and he wore this costume when we were engaged.
That's expensive piece of history there.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. Okay. My partner is not particularly into taking shits on me or dressing up as a Nazi, but he enjoys how much it makes me happy.
Why wouldn't he want to dress up like a Nazi?
Because they did some fucked up shit, Michael.
Well, he had the outfit, though.
Yeah, it seemed like he bought it on his own accord as like a relic of the war.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I mean, but man, that juju... That's not probably good. Yeah, sage is shit out of that. I'm 4'9" and 100 pounds, and he is 6'4" and 230 pounds. Jesus Christ, this is like Andre the Giant. And
yeah, kind of everything about this feels made up, but we'll go on.
There's photos, though. The size difference makes being pooped on all the more exciting. They are heavy loads that make a dent in my abdomen.
What is he, a horse?
We get to play. We plan to get married on June 12th, Anne Frank's birthday. Okay, I'm just going to need you to write us in again just to verify that you're telling the fucking truth. P.S., you read my email 2 years ago about an abusive ex. I took your advice and left that old, fat, divorced failure of a father, and now I'm with someone more on my wavelength. So, I mean, sounds like you're with the perfect match. Instead of being threatened by my aspirations like my loser exes, there is no one who is rooting harder for me to become a professor than this person. He goes out of his way to learn how to cook Filipino dishes. I'm Filipino. He's white.
Yeah, this is another reason why it's weird. Why does she have an Anne Frank, like, Holocaust kink when she's not Jewish?
Maybe she was a Jew in a past life. That's the only thing I could think of, honestly. And he has waited on me like a butler and brought me to all my doctor's appointments as I currently have a thyroid infection. Maybe it's from getting shit on or breathing in his shitty butthole air.
Yeah, it seems like you probably have a lot of infections right now.
So, sometimes you have to go through a pile of garbage to find the right one. Okay, well, these are their pictures. And this, yeah, you're super little and petite and he's gigantic.
Could be Photoshopped, though.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Who makes this shit up and emails us, you know? If you're already listening to us, why would you, if you're going to lie, like, I don't know. You think it's fake? I've never met somebody who so casually talks about getting pooped on or just getting pooped on in general, to be honest.
I've heard defecation stories. I don't know. They're just
usually the tone when talking about it, though, is a little different than this one.
Even the picture, so okay, say this, can say the picture is real. Even like the size difference, it looks like it's just like, is this based in love or kink? Like what this, the whole thing feels like, if it's true, just like a kink thing.
The reason she was writing us is because we asked listeners to send us their interesting fetishes. So that's right. Why she's only highlighting that part of her relationship.
Right, but the whole thing now feels...
I mean, those are two extreme.
Seems like that
kinks.
Would take up a lot of time.
Well, when you poop on each other and you role play Anne Frank and a Nazi German soldier, where do you go from there?
Right.
You know?
Well,
like, what are you saving for your later years?
You know, I hope
kissing
you're
happy. Kissing on the mouth?
I hope you guys are happy.
They look really happy. I hope your email is real. She said she wrote us earlier, like a couple years ago. So maybe, I don't know. I want to believe it's true. So we'll just do that. And then on that note, guys, come see us live. We are going to be live at the Guys Who Fucked studio Wednesday, May 31st at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can watch that on youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. We are going to do a live call-in episode of Guys Who Fucked. These are really fun. Join in. You have to subscribe if you want to get in on the comment section. But save the date, mark it on your calendar, and watch it on your smart TV. And then I am hitting the road. Toronto, July 28th and 29th. Los Angeles, August 2nd. San Diego, August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Fort Worth, Texas, August 11th and 12th. And New Brunswick, New Jersey. I'm going to be there at the Stress Factory, August 17th, 18th, and 19th.
And if you want to hear me on my other podcast, tune into Without a Country. It goes live on Wednesdays on YouTube and everywhere you listen to podcasts. We're heading into that next presidential election, if you can believe it or not. So Trump is back. DeSantis, will he, won't he situation. So there's some other contenders. And then, of course, Joe Biden just trying to keep on
hanging on by thread,
keep on living through that next election, which will be super exciting. So make sure to subscribe to that YouTube channel. And if you want to watch it live, it live streams 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Gas Sigil Network on Tuesdays.
Yeah, make sure you follow Guys We Fucked on all social media, including TikTok. It's Guys We Fucked without the U in fucked. Oh, and I forgot to promote the Patreon I do. We do these weekly Zoom therapy sessions. I'm not a licensed therapist, Chad. And now I'm putting them on the Patreon. The audio of those Zoom sessions will live on the Patreon. They're very interesting. So if you miss out and you can't make it, you can listen to everybody talk about their fucking problems. It's very interesting. And I got to say, I'm pretty good at advice. Speaking of advice, we posted on our Guys We Fucked Instagram account last week. What's the biggest red flag you pretended to miss? And boy, oh boy, you didn't disappoint us, guys. A couple of my favorite answers were walking in on him helping his friend shoot up heroin, even though he, quote, quit last month.
Yikes.
when I realized he was homeless.
It's also, I love that she's like, when he quit last month and you just went along with it. Oh, of course.
Yeah, no one quits heroin. I feel like they got to go to rehab for that.
Although yeah. You don't just go, I'm cutting down this month.
I read a book about how heroin's bad for you. I'm going to quit. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but let's just say he had a fake British accent for 4 months.
That's hilarious.
Honestly, I would date that guy. I would date that guy.
That's hilarious.
He made me change before going on a date. It was a third date because my dress was too sexy. It was plain black and knee length. Mm. My ex kept referring to his roommate. Turns out it was his ex, and he didn't move out because he, quote, really got along with her dog.
Nice.
He also said, I love you after a week.
Yeah, I definitely know people who have started dating when they're still living with their significant other, even if, though they broke up.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's a no for me, dog. Ketamine addiction. Fun. Ugh, this one. Put dirty dishes in the cabinet because they, quote, only need to be washed when they are used.
Oh, I lived with somebody that used to do that.
And somebody else commented.
Who, my ex-boyfriend?
Not a red flag.
No, actually.
Just a dude? Somebody commented, not a red flag, just a dude. I'm like, is this a guy thing?
But what do you mean? But what do you mean? So if they're dirty, then they were used. How are they dirty without being used?
I don't know. I assume if you put them in the dishwasher and it didn't get all the dirt off of them, you just put them back in the cabinet is what I think. But like, scrub it.
So, I've done something like eat a cookie on a plate and there's no, and then just like rinsed it or brushed it off with my hands.
Yeah.
So
it's my house though. I'm the only one who lives there.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that in front of another human being. I do a lot of disgusting shit by myself, but not in front of another person.
My old roommate, who you definitely know, both of you guys.
We do.
Yeah. Recent roommate. We never figured out exactly why the dishes were dirty when he'd put them back. We have a couple theories.
Oh my God.
Was there a dishwasher?
No, there was no dishwasher. But we think it's possible that he used to wash them with cold water and it just wouldn't.
No soap?
I don't know. I mean, there were times you'd reach into the cabinet to get a dish and it was just covered in like grease.
Ew.
It was disgusting.
I'm surprised you didn't get roaches from that.
Do men never learn how to clean?
Well, I don't think it's all men. Like, we lived with four guys and only one of them was an albatross.
I've never met a girl that was that messy.
I have. I lived with a girl who was absolutely disgusting.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of men I know actually are very clean. I don't really know a lot of men that are messy like that.
You know, I had a roommate for like 1 year and she was like filthy.
Ew. I had a male roommate for a year who never washed his towel. He had one bath towel.
That's gross.
Yeah.
I know.
Really smelled gross. So bad. Yeah. Smelled like a foot.
Oh, because it was
mildewy. And a ball sack. Yeah.
That is bad.
He wanted me to show up at his job and role play as his daughter before fooling around in his office.
Mm. I don't know. That's a red flag. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, we may not want the same things now, but maybe we'll all want them in the future. We won't know unless we try. Oh, God. My cheating, abusive ex-fiance is an FBI agent. That should have been enough on its own.
This one says, very adamant about me not posting photos of us / tagging him on social media. Also told the couple we went on a double date with not to post our group pic on social media.
That's so weird.
That man has a family.
Yeah.
Like, what?
When he told me he wished I got more jealous, then he would hang out with other girls. That's funny. When she talked shit about all of her coworkers and friends immediately after they left the room. Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
Was mad when he learned I wasn't a virgin.
Sorry, I'm a whore. I want it to be just the two of us all the time. We don't need anyone else. Stage one narc abuse, all downhill from there, all the time.
I like that. Like the men ones are all like absolutely crazy. And then a guy wrote, she put pineapple on her pizza. Nice life you have there.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't love that.
Women are like, he hit me. And then men are like, she had
a gross toenail.
Like, crazy.
When his parents told me he was jealous of the attention I gave my son over him. When the parents start saying stuff, that should be a red flag on its own.
The parents shouldn't be involved at all.
Nope.
Agreed.
Why are the parents involved? It is the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen.
A grown man who takes too many selfies.
Well,
if you take too many selfies and post them.
Hold on.
Because I think selfies is a human thing. I think it's a human thing.
That's you agreeing that you take too many selfies. She didn't say selfies, period. She said too many selfies. So then it means you're insecure about the amount of selfies that you take.
Who's to say what's too many selfies?
Those details.
What?
Who's to say what is too many selfies?
That's to each their own.
Right.
Do you think you take too many selfies, Michael?
Okay,
that's not a no.
I think it's a part of my repertoire that I really enjoy.
So then what's the problem?
So then don't get offended.
Also, most of yours, I feel like, are on your Instagram stories. You're not like putting one on the feed every day.
Yeah, more commonly. Yeah, they're more Instagram stories. I like the Instagram story. You want to hear this?
Of course. Well, now we do.
I like Instagram stories. I can't be the only one that thinks like this, but I like posting them on Instagram stories because then you get the direct DM back.
Yes.
As opposed to...
You get that attention.
Yeah. Oh, I close my DMs most times.
I love leaving them open and see who... who's feeling the DM.
Yeah, it's a little bit different when you're a woman. You really usually don't want those responses in your DMs.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, you know, what do they say? Men are from Mars and women are from Venus?
Something like that.
What can you do?
Wow, I mean, the hard-hitting content we're getting out of in today's episode. Absolutely crazy. Crazy.
We're different.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF.
Oh my God! All right. Well, you were very excited about this article that you found, Michael.
I did think there was a good conversation to be had with it. Do you want to set it up, Corinne?
Well, I mean, Mike. So Mike sent me this article last night, and it's from which one was it from?
The Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal. It says more wives now out earn their husbands. They also stay together longer. And then I go, I don't even know if this is correct information, because I've read a lot of articles recently with different information saying quite the opposite. I also don't think statistically, I refute a lot of the information in this article. But the thing is, like, that we talk about a lot, and I certainly talk a lot about on Without a Country, is you can find data for absolutely any point of view you want to push.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, people, who do you think is paying for these studies? People who have a bias in the outcome on the study. I mean, sure, there are, less biased studies done, but I just don't think this is happening yet. I don't think more wives are out earning their husbands at this point. And I also have heard, this is the first time I'm hearing a stat that it doesn't spike divorce.
Well, I think more is also relative to the past and not necessarily that women are commonly.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
So it's not that all women are.
Then that is the most ridiculous headline I've ever read, because of course.
Right, because it's society's progressing.
Right.
That makes it even
women
stupider.
Women were allowed to go to work in pants at some point
history. Yeah, they're
saying it's on an upward trajectory.
To the 60s and the 70s, which obviously you'd think that. That would be progress. Yeah. But I think there were times there mentioning in this story here that couples married in the late 1960s and 1970s were 70% more likely to divorce when wives earned the same or slightly more than their husbands compared to couples.
Okay, so that's what you're bringing to the table. So they're saying, yeah, compared to the 60s and 70s, more wives out earn their husbands than did in the 60s and 70s, and they couples will stay together longer than they did in the 60s and 70s.
Given that.
So men are getting less butthurt.
Yeah, basically.
Men are getting less butthurt.
I think it's becoming a more normalized way of life that you. But we. This is what we had talked about too. That at
well, because I thought you were meaning like in general percentage of the whole pool, and I was like, that's just incorrect.
Yeah, no. That's not what this means. This doesn't mean that all of a sudden men. The tables have turned. Women are completely out earning men. It's just that it's more common, and men are more okay with it.
Thank God.
Yeah. Which I think is,
but it's still compared to the dynamic of the husband earning more in a heterosexual relationship, the divorce rate is way higher when the woman is the breadwinner. That is true. That's what I was disputing you on this article, and now I see what you're saying. They're comparing it to the 60s and 70s, which again, not an article. That's just like,
time's happening and we're getting better.
It's like saying medical care is better in 2023 than it was in 1962. Yeah.
Yeah, but
cars go faster. Uh-huh.
I think the discussion is really just that
slow progress is being made.
Yeah, and whether or not, I mean, in your own lives, do you feel like
No. This is stats that I know, Michael. That's why I was like, I have read 3 to 4 articles in the past year that have different stats. It's like a big problem that when the woman is the breadwinner, the chance of divorce is way higher.
Yeah, but right. All right. But there.
I understand everything clearly now, and this is not really like a talking point. I was trying to go in cold so we could have a more interesting conversation, but now that I've been offered clarification on the article, I go, oh, yeah, duh.
Well.
So what point were you excited to make?
No, I just thought it was an interesting conversation based off the fact that in circles that I run in, I can't even imagine the idea. Well, let me finish. You're like laughing at me.
Because you said circles that I run in. Who are you talking about?
Both people. We were talking before about people that live in the city. It's the same as the people that live in the suburbs. I think that I don't know anybody that doesn't have a fairly equal relationship with their partner, where there is a pretty close to even amount of income, I think, between both people.
Okay.
And I do think that there is, I wonder, because when I was growing up, it was not necessarily taught to me that that was going to be the way things were. Like, my mom was working, obviously, but my dad always made substantially more money, but usually made a good amount more money than my mom did.
But that was a different time. I think most people's dad made more than their mom if they're in a heterosexual two-parent household.
Right. But I think that when we have these conversations now about like the equality in dating for our generation, I think that I'm curious from the woman's point of view, would you even go into a relationship where not you guys specifically, but if women would even go into a relationship where the thought of being being with a man who doesn't have a thought of making less money than she does as being like an option?
Huh? I don't know. Yeah, I also didn't understand the question.
So when you go, if you guys obviously are not going to go into any relationship with a man
who's intimidated by our earnings?
Yes, exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
I was in one for 7 years.
And I'm curious to
Well, the thing is, though, it's like,
well,
yes,
I was poor when I met him.
Yes, we probably are, because that shit doesn't come, that shit doesn't really surface as a problem until 3-4 years down the line. So, yes, I think I will unknowingly.
So, you think it wears on men.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think stuff like that wears on men for sure.
Well, because I think if you're taught as a man, masculinity has fucked a lot of men up. I think if you're taught to value certain things, like I think about this, I was taught to value muscle cars as a child by my dad and my brother. My brother and my dad loved cars, and they taught me about cars, and I have this appreciation for cars to the point where when I see like a fucking 67 Corvette, I get aroused. I'm like, wow, that's so interesting, because that was a learned response. And then you take it one step further and you think about something bigger, like a societal issue, like your value as a man is providing for your woman, for your family, for all those things. And when the woman comes in and earns more than you, you have to contend with yourself. And I feel like if you have the patience for it, great. But if you don't, you're just going to act like an asshole or end the relationship. I've dated the last guy I dated acted like an absolute utter asshole when I started earning more money than him, mm-hmm. and asked me to buy him shit. I bought him stereo speakers that he's always wanted because I was fucking rolling in dough. Right. And he then, but as he resented me for it, the person I'm dating now jokes about it, thinks it's hilarious. He's not broke though. So I don't know. Maybe if a guy was broke, they'd have more of an issue because it's like a mirror on themselves.
Well, there's also, I think there's something to the fact that if you're a man, we're in this cross generation where like the things that I was taught about masculinity growing up, and I still even had like a mother who was very, I don't think she would refer to herself as a feminist, but like she had a lot of feminist ideals that like, whether she's aware of it or not, like
just like it's just like East Coast women. Equality.
Yeah. Probably Jersey. The same. Because your mom and my mom, Corinne, sound so similar. It's crazy. You know,
well, my mom was ahead of her time, but she also
she was a feminist, though. Like,
but she also grew up with parents for, you know, the time period that they were, you know, married in the 1950s, 1960s, had a very equal partnership, which was not common for the time. So
right.
She also started ahead of the game as far as that.
So I think the way that I was raised, it was this weird hybrid where some of this stuff was going out the window, where there was obviously my mom was trying to get her degree as a teacher and she was going to be working. So the idea of being like the solo breadwinner was not necessarily like a full pressure on me, but it is still in some ways a pressure. And it's not necessarily because I feel like I'm going to have to be a breadwinner in any relationship. Those are also not the type of women that I'm attracted to. I like working women that are working on something.
Yeah, yeah.
But the question, and this is something that I've been asking myself as I've been going on this onslaught of dates over the past like 2 months or whatever, is that like, what is your value as a man when you go on these dates with some of these women who really do not need you? And if that was the dynamic.
Well, need.
Yeah.
Need, I think, is a bad place to come from, even though I think humans as a whole, we need connection and love and care and intimacy with our friendships and our family and all that stuff. But I think when you come on a date from a point of need, maybe that's the part that needs to be rethought.
Well, but I think
That's right here is the problem with men. You guys feel like you have this incessant need to be needed, and it's yucky.
Yeah, well, it's like
I don't want to be needed in a relationship. I want to be wanted in a relationship. If you need me, now I'm your mommy.
No,
yeah,
so maybe,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe
it's yucky. There's total different energy to need and want.
Maybe the choice of words is poor, and I understand that words have meaning, but
I don't know that it is. I think that you
I think
actually
you're speaking
hit the
to generations of men.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think like that's why so often, like when I'm in a relationship, men feel that I don't need them, and that it makes them feel not worthy. But it's like you have to feel worthy because you feel worthy as a human. I cannot make you feel worthy, nor do I want to, and it actually repulses me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like
that's not my job.
There's also different energy to needing somebody and then like leaning on somebody when you're going through a hard time. Like being supportive with each other, but wanting each other, I think, should be the main spine of the relationship.
And also, if the main reason a woman needs you in a relationship is to provide financially, that's also a fucking weird childlike dad and child dynamic. And so, you know, only recently, and I think still some couples still fall into this a lot, like only recently are women not being treated like children, where we have to have our husband sign for things like a bank account or a mortgage or something.
Yeah,
like
that is that very recently.
Yeah, that, you know, this article is going back to the 60s and 70s. You're having to, if you're buying a property, if you're not married, your dad has to sign for you as a woman. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Up. Totally.
So women are so infantilized all the time. It's disgusting. Even like the way, you know, I think I like used to talk about when I had doormen. They used to, like, when it was cold, they used to, like, basically tell me to, like, put on my galoshes before I went out. Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you talking about?
No, I get it. I mean, I completely agree with you. But I think, I also think that there's, like, we're still not past this is my own data that is yeah. just basically
well, you've
like
been dating
gathered.
A lot, so
I have.
Your data comes from somewhere.
I just think that they're still there.
Oh, actually, sorry, they're shoes. I was like, it's mittens or shoes. Yeah, it's just like an old term.
Yeah, yeah. I think that they're still just like the subconsciously. I don't know that women or men too. I think subconsciously, even though we've moved past the place where like outward progress will tell you that people are like much more secure in these types of relationships, which are more and more common. So in theory, you should be secure. I do think there is still subconsciously, there is this weird power dynamic that I don't know. Maybe the next generation or the generation behind them will like not think about it at all. But I think that there's something that, again, I've mentioned it a few times on this show. I think that when you're given a level of comfort regarding things like this, which are the norm now or becoming the norm, I still think that men and women at their core don't know how to like process these things the way yes. that we would hope that they would, based off of just like saying like, of course I love that my wife makes like a little bit more money than me way more money than me or whatever. And like, we have a fun life. I still think that there is, and maybe this is different because these are marriages and not relationships, boyfriend, yeah. girlfriend, or like kind of casually dating. I just think that there's like, and maybe it's different if you grow up with somebody. Like
yeah.
If you and your girlfriend meet when you're 25 and now it's been 5 years and now she's out earning you and like you've been together, it's all good, there's that future that you guys are going to get married or be life partners or whatever, then maybe that's something that like subconsciously it doesn't bother you as much or
yeah.
it doesn't both parties. But
no,
I think
that would still weigh. I mean, that happens a lot. And like, you see it in celebrity relationships a lot. Like, that's why when the woman's like, unless the woman was always more famous than the man, when the woman starts getting more and more famous than the man, yeah. I mean, that broke up Tom Green and Drew Barrymore. Like,
right.
Yeah. I mean, she was always kind of more famous, yeah. obviously. And also just like in a more respected spot, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, comedians have actually become like more of a cooler profession recently, but there was a time when comedians weren't respected. The way like it's gone back and forth, obviously.
Yes.
Like Carlin and Pryor and stuff were highly respected comedians, but I think it's just in general people just aren't really sitting down and thinking about how these dynamics will affect them at all. You know, like I was at a wedding this weekend and I'm like, people just kind of go along with stuff, like
yes.
so it's like
yeah.
it's like people just go along with what is expected of them societally because it's easier, right? So that's why I'm at such a crossroads right now, because the thing that I want, I've never seen anyone else in a couple and been like, I want that. So therefore mm-hmm. I am left then, if to be satisfied, I have to create something new that I've never seen before. And wow, that's a lot more work than just doing something that I've seen somebody else do.
Yeah.
Big problem.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Big headache.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like most people aren't willing to put that work in to create something that they've never seen before, when there is like a bunch of, you know, in quotes, perfectly acceptable templates.
It's such a good point.
Yeah.
Every time I go to a wedding, I'm like, you guys you're not behind anything you're saying. You don't actually like care about what you're saying. When the vows are like pre-written and stuff, it's just like, do you even know what these words mean? What the fuck?
It's like,
and I actually think the wedding I went to was like great, and I do think they like really wanted to be married. It's just like, I think a lot of people at that wedding were looking, you know, like, you know, a lot of single people were like, oh, I want this. And I was like, I am so happy for my friends and they, I think they want this and I want that for them, but I don't want that.
Yeah.
And I also can't say people say, okay, what do you want? I go, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't tell you the answer to that. I'm creating it day by day.
Right.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I was talking about my boyfriend and I were riffing on like, if we got married, what would it be like? Oh, it would be so opposite of a wedding. No kids allowed. Dogs.
That's becoming
no kids
more
allowed
common,
is common actually. Common.
No
it's
kids, but dogs are allowed, and we want to have a dog bar.
Uh-oh. I was like, there's going to be a lot of poop on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care. It's going to be a bunch of dogs.
Don't wear white.
All the guys are going to wear the Dumb and Dumber tuxes.
That'd be fun.
That is fun. Yeah,
yeah.
Those are cute tuxes.
Like,
I like those.
Oh, it was such a fun. I loved Casey and Robbie's wedding. I was like, man, this is so fun, and felt like very genuine to them. And you felt like you got to experience a slice of their dynamic.
Yeah.
Which was very vulnerable and intimate and lovely. Like, they're just two lovely people. I loved the roast the night before. Oh.
Yeah, this was probably the most religious wedding I've ever been to, but honestly, one of the most fun weddings I've been to, too.
That's nice. That's awesome.
Because I was like, wow, people who love Jesus really can get down.
Yeah, that's good to know. That's good to know, because I feel like that's what Jesus would have wanted. You know what I mean? Okay, guys. Our guest this week, we are so excited to have her on. She was a recommendation by you, the fuckers. We had a couple people recommend that we reach out to her, and we did, and we had a really lovely conversation. You can see her on seasons 2 and 3 of the Netflix hit show Indian Matchmaking. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Viral Joshi.
Let's throw up our sails so we can catch the wind. Nothing ahead but smooth sailing. No tidal waves, no hurricanes. Miles of blue and the summer days. You take your words, I'll take mine. Together we can turn back time. Offer your hand. You can be you. Oh, you and me, fight to the nail. We've got a smooth way to sail. Easy to call. To go, but we're better off alone. You take your words, I'll take mine. Together we can turn back time. Offer your hands, offer my smooth.
Joshi, we're so excited to have you to talk about the show you've been on, the reality show you've been on, Indian Matchmaking.
Yep.
Tell us about the show for anybody who doesn't know. I mean, the title's pretty self-explanatory.
So the premise of the show is you have a matchmaker from Mumbai, and she comes, you create like a bio data, which is basically a paper format of a dating app. That's how I describe it. And then she asks you what you're looking for. She hangs out with you a little bit to kind of get to know you and your personality. And then she finds a bunch of guys who also have bio data submitted to her, and she pairs you up.
Nice.
And what about this project interested you?
I mean, I was doing everything I could to find dates and nothing was working. Like I was like, I have my career set. I have my family set, like my relationship with my parents and like my extended family. My friends were all good. My house, my cat, like everything was set. The last duck I needed in the row to have this perfect life was that love.
What were you trying that wasn't work? That wasn't working.
I tried everything.
You're like a hot chick, and you're saying you live in North Carolina. I'm like, you're like a 13 in North Carolina.
You might be the hottest chick in North Carolina.
Yeah,
and nothing against North Carolina. No, but
well, I mean, there are pretty people in North Carolina. Yeah. But yes, I see what I get what you mean. But you know, I was trying the apps. Nothing worked. I went on one date a year.
What?
Whoa. I went on one date a year.
Was it not like, were you matching with people and then they were turning you off in the conversation, or were you just not getting matches?
I just was not getting matches.
Damn.
I don't know what it
was. I'm glad you moved here.
I was also specifically on Indian apps.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that played a big part in that, but I mean, I knew I wanted an Indian person. That's why I went on an Indian reality TV dating show rather than like The Bachelorette or whatever.
Sure.
So let's see. So I tried all the dating apps. Like, I just would not match with people. I don't know if it were like it was like leftover apps or like leftover profiles. Right. And I was just matching. And for whatever reason, I wasn't getting any hits. I'd go on a date a year from like someone I met on the app. I tried like my network. I travel for work. So I was like, okay, I'll just keep my eyes peeled. Like, where, you know, because I work in hospitals and clinics and, you know, I'm always in the airport lounges. You never know who you're going to run into, right?
You really don't.
So I kept looking around, nothing. I tried my friend network. Hey, do you know anyone? Like, I'm looking. Nothing was working. And I was like, you know what? I can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and like expecting a different result,
Absolutely.
Right?
That's crazy. Yeah, or sanity.
And so I was like, I saw the opportunity come up for the show and I was like, you know what? I've tried everything else. I need to do something different. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did.
Wow. So when you were picked to be on the show and they're matching you, like, how quickly falling in love on camera, that's a weird, that's like more vulnerable than doing anal on camera to me. Like I would be scared, more scared to fall in love on camera because I would, I don't know, just the energy of a camera on you.
Yeah.
This is different. How was that experience?
You know, I think the producers are great. They do such a good job blending into the background that you don't even notice them. And I think what I noticed for me having like gone on a series of dates and then ultimately finding a successful match on the show was when you're with the right person and the chemistry is there, you don't even realize that cameras are on you. The conversation's just flowing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always having to like stop, you know, me and him mid-conversation, like, hey, we need to fix this.
Take that again?
Yeah.
Say the same exact thing, the spur of the moment thing you just said again?
Yeah, exactly. And then he and I would both get like frustrated because we just wanted to keep our conversation going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So your chemistry was there.
It was there. And, you know, when they would move us from one location to another, like in the car, when he and I would be having conversations, they would stop us and be like, save that for the camera, save that for the camera. And it was just so frustrating that like he and I would just like be on opposite sides of the car, just looking out the window.
Yeah, you're getting like intellectually blue balled the whole shoot.
Pretty much. Yeah. You have to just pause. You feel like you can't really be yourself until the cameras are on. But that's how you know it's real.
Yeah, that's true. True love can survive a reality dating show, I guess.
It really can.
And this guy that you fell in love with, he was one of the picks from the matchmaker?
Yes, she picked him for me. He was my third date.
I was like, so does she order them or is it just like she says this pool of guys I think would be right for you?
I think honestly, I think it came to availability.
When they can make scheduling.
Yeah, I think that's all it came down to because she showed me two that. But I will say she showed me two that I thought were a stronger match on paper.
Interesting.
Yeah. But then when I met one and this came to scheduling, she was like, which one do you want to see? And then it was like, oh, well.
That guy's not around.
He's not here right now. So we'll go in this order. And then those two didn't work out. And then she had to go look for me again. Mm-hmm. And then she gave me two other profiles. And then I just by chance, I met the guy I dated on the show first, just because of scheduling. And then things were going so well with him that I told the matchmaker, no, I don't want to see that fourth guy you had for me. So,
wow. When you were even curious. I would be like, maybe that's my problem. I'd be like, I just want to see. You know?
I did, but you know, like things were so great.
You don't
want to
mess
it
up.
That physical chemistry, man, the second you sit down, when I was dating, I did dating apps for just a little bit. And the second you sit down with somebody, you know.
You just know
if it's going to work out or not.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, like just the conversation flows. Just body language. Like, I'm like, I don't need to see anybody else, you know?
Yeah.
And then her philosophy, the matchmaker's philosophy is go one at a time. Because if you meet a bunch of guys at once, you're just going to confuse yourself and then you're not going to be able to focus on one. So I was like, okay, fine. I clearly don't know what I'm doing in dating because
it hasn't worked out at all.
I go on one date a year. I'm clearly doing something wrong. So she's like, hey, you know, just go one at a time.
Yeah.
That's what I did. And then that's what happened.
Does she have, I know like Patty Stanger on her matchmaking show, she was like, no sex until you're like exclusive.
Yeah.
That was like one of her rules to be her client. Does this matchmaker have any of those types of rules with sex?
I don't think so. I don't, you know, it's just
get go it. For it.
Get that finger in there.
In the Indian culture, I think it's just something we don't talk about.
Oh, okay.
You know,
so it wasn't addressed.
It was never addressed. It was never brought up. You know,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, it just was never brought up.
Even in a show where the point of it is to match people off to ultimately get married.
Yeah.
There's no discussion of sex.
No.
People have such tight buttholes about sex. It never ceases to blow my mind.
They do.
So what can you illustrate for us more? Like what is the Indian view of sex, like exactly, like more specifically?
Straight up, they don't talk about it. Straight up. And like I say that, but like
not even that it's bad, it just doesn't exist.
It's just the whole thing of like you wait until marriage and no one talks about it.
Damn,
no one talks about it. I have a friend, he's a urologist, he works in infertility, and he did like a stint in India, and people were like, we can't get pregnant, and he was asking them what they were doing, and they were not having sex.
What?
Stop.
I'm not even kidding. Girl, it's just, what? It's such a
What were
a
they
lack.
Doing?
I just all
looking
kind,
at each other real hard.
Everything
staring
else.
Staring
competition. But that.
Ready, go. We're going to get twins. I can feel it.
Oh my God.
It just, wow. Yeah. And like, I mean, I don't know. Wow. I don't know what he ended up like telling them and talking to them about, but it's just like that lack of education over there.
Mm-hmm. When you don't know, you don't know. And if it's so thickly ingrained in a culture that we don't talk about this, it's like when you take like two of the same magnets and you can't push them together.
Right.
It's like that. It's just like there's this invisible barrier.
It's just something.
But
never
what about
addressed.
The Kama Sutra?
Yeah, that's like so slutty and
I
great.
Was literally going to ask the same thing.
It's really funny. I just came across an article. I think it was in The New Yorker, how Western cultures have completely shifted the idea of the Kama Sutra to be just sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
sounds like us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So us.
Kama Sutra is about getting real good for long periods of time.
Pretty much. That's the takeaway in America. But and I don't know the Indian perspective of like the development of the Kama Sutra, but it's not just hardcore sex, you know. Like,
damn it!
Like,
I remember.
Like,
sorry about
my
that.
My first visit to New York City when I was in eighth grade to see a Broadway show. I got this like pamphlet. I bought it off the streets for $5, and it was just all the Kama Sutra positions. And I was like, "Holy shit! These people are going for it."
They but do, and it's like up. There's a. It's not made up. It's a component of
okay.
it.
Okay, so the we put the emphasis
we just on
the
sex part. We really zoned in on that. Okay.
Yeah, and then I think in a lot of Indian architecture, there are some temples you go to where they will have Kama Sutra, like very clearly. It's just right there on
statues
the wall.
Statues fucking? Or the
pretty
poses?
Much just, no, just all of it. Whoa. All of it just on the side of the walls, but it's not looked at as sexually as it would be viewed here.
Wow. Yeah.
There's like a different essence to it. But yes, okay. Sex is a part of it. Like that is obviously what they're doing.
Right.
But it's just, it's more to it.
Growing up in your household, you grew up in North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
So was sexuality talked about, discussed?
My parents were pretty open with me.
That's nice.
But it still wasn't like explicitly talked about.
Right.
And so and then I have a pretty religious mom, so she was never going to talk about anything like that. But they did emphasize, oh, you know, you wait till marriage, you wait till the right person. And that's always been it. But it's never been like how you need to be sexually compatible with someone if you're going to spend the rest of your life with them. Like these are
elements. I mean, I don't think anybody has that conversation yet. Hopefully soon. But like I didn't, my God, my parents didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I know people who, you know, things are great with someone and then the sex is bad. Mm-hmm. And they've left them.
That's why I like to start with sex. Yeah. First date.
Yeah.
First date. Right get into it.
French
it.
Fuck. Right French it. Fuck right away. I read it like a New York Times article about
Corinne's
it
a French name. I'm living up to it.
Oh, there you go. Oui, oui. Ooh, la, la. And they're like, we want to just get this out of the way because if there's no sexual chemistry, where's the foundation?
I don't need to waste more time.
Then we just be friends.
I'm 37. Mm-hmm. I don't need a pal.
Yeah. I do. But yeah, for sure. I love friends. But did you wait till marriage? Are you?
I did not.
What a whore!
And you know, but here's the thing: it's something. This happened on the show too, and I was like, if I kiss, they asked me to kiss him on camera. I was like, I can't do that.
Nothing more romantic than
yeah. They were like, will you kiss on camera? And I think it's because the producers know that it's such a topic that they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna be sexual beings on camera.
They need a bad girl for the show.
And then they were just like, will you kiss? And then I turned to them. I was like, if I kiss him on camera for the world to see, that will mean I have to marry him. And I have, and the thing is, I have no idea where that came from. It's that ingrained in us.
I was gonna say, I was like, is that like a, your personal rule?
No, or? it just came out. Because I was like,
the collective consciousness of your culture came out.
Pretty much.
Oh no,
it should happen, man.
Fuck, I gotta get married so many times in retrospect now.
So did you kiss on camera?
In season two, no. I told them I wasn't comfortable with it,
and they were cool.
And they were cool with
That's
it.
That's nice. I'm glad to hear that they did not force you.
No, they didn't force anything at all. And then season three comes, and they're like, "All right, you guys have been dating longer now. Are you more comfortable?
Can you fuck on camera?" Like, no.
And then I was like, sure, we'll kiss on camera. They make us kiss multiple times. And I'm like, by the fifth or the sixth time kissing on camera, I'm like, is it just going to look like we're making out all over New York City?
Yeah, they're going to splice it together for a montage. They're going to sew it together like
they
a quilt.
They kiss here. They kiss there. But,
I thought you were going to be like, new kink unlocked. I love kissing in public.
I know.
Can you imagine if kissing in public was your kink? What an easy life.
Right? Yeah,
that what is an easy if life. That's what did it for you. That's sent you over the edge.
Unless you were in a different country. If you're in India trying to do PDA, I think certain parts would be like, whoa, or like any other deeply conservative country.
Yeah.
I think India's evolving for sure. And I think in the big cities, no one gives a fuck. But like in the smaller areas where like my parents or my mom especially is from, oh my God, like seeing that would be
ridiculous. It's so interesting how cultures evolve, cities. I remember when I first moved to New York City, I was like 19. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, there was gay men and women everywhere. Mm-hmm. But like to see two guys kissing because gay marriage wasn't legal yet. I was like, ooh, cool. We're doing this in public. Yes, I love this because I didn't see that in Philly.
Yeah.
So it is cool to see cultures slowly evolving, but evolving nonetheless. Mm-hmm.
What did you, I'm so curious when people go to a matchmaker, what did you say was important to you in a partner?
So I had this really long checklist that became a meme and the way that, and
I kind of assessed that when you're like, I go on one date a year and I was like, oh, this is a real me over here.
Yeah. She got spreadsheets.
Yeah. Seriously. I was like, I need this, but it became, and the way they edited it, it made it kind of like a joke because I was like, you know, they have me list out all these things I'm looking for. And then at the end, I say, like, I'm very open. And like, that was great. But, you know, I did feel like I was very open because I didn't think I was asking for a lot.
What were you asking for?
And you probably weren't because women are like told to ask for so little.
Completely agree. Completely agree.
Toaster leaving.
So we don't get beat up. We're like, he's such a prince. Yeah. Oh, God. He doesn't curse at me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Take care.
What were like your top five things?
Top five. You have to like be from the same community as me. So I'm Gujarati Indian.
Okay.
So I wanted him to be that mainly because he can speak the language.
Okay.
So that was on there. So speaking the Gujarati language.
How much of a rarity is this? Like how big is that community?
The Gujarati community is big.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
So that's not
so you didn't narrow your
weird
pool
ask.
No. Yeah. No, I don't think so. But when it comes to the number of guys who speak the language, that like just kills a lot of people off.
Okay.
And then the height requirement. My community is on the shorter side, but I'm like a taller girl. So I was like, I want a taller guy. I don't think that's a lot to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
So being tall, I think my
age. How tall? What was it? What was your min?
So minimum? I said 5'11". I'm 5'8".
That's not a bad ask.
No,
that's not.
Yeah. I don't think it is.
That's not.
You said under 6 feet tall. Most people. Yeah. So many people are like 6 foot or higher. 5'11" is a nice ask.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
Okay. So yeah.
So I was like, that's reasonable. It's not like I was
a
like
inches taller than you.
Yeah. It's not like I was 4'11" asking for 5'11".
Right.
No.
Like, you know, I thought it was reasonable.
Eyes on you.
Okay.
And then I was like, 32 to 37.
Okay.
I was 30 at the time we filmed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, you know, I need someone a little bit older than me, but my cap was 37.
Okay.
And then what else was it? So the language, height, age. One big thing I said was being a good role model for my kids. So that's not something that's a total like, you know, filter that you can just plug in. But I think overall that encompasses like some.
We've all met a guy that we're like not a good role model for anybody's kids.
And yeah,
but like a fun boyfriend.
Like, you know what? You're a good role model. You would be a great role model for a son or daughter. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's totally a feeling. Different. It's a feeling. And then what else? Just having an active, healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the top ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want him to be a lazy piece of shit. You want him to have respect for himself.
None of these sound wild.
No. No. But for some reason, putting it all together and finding that very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So.
What kinds of guys were you running into, like in terms of not meeting the list? Like, what were the big ways that they weren't meeting your criteria?
So they would meet the criteria. The guys that I would go on one date a year, they would meet the criteria. But the problem there was, I don't think, and this is going to be like a hot take, I don't think guys know what to do with a strong woman. A strong, independent, self-sufficient woman. They have no idea what to do with it.
We talk about this all the time.
It's a mirror up to their own insecurities.
Right.
And it's so unfortunate because we're just existing.
Yeah, they can't handle it.
How have you, I'm always curious to see like a woman's specific examples of like what was the behavior that you were presented with that you were like, ah, you're one of those. Got it.
Honestly, one guy just straight up told me. So there was
too powerful.
There was one guy.
I appreciate
I
him.
At least appreciate
I appreciate that.
That
guy. He didn't waste your time.
True. I waste my time a little bit because I was like, he's so great. Like, we'll make it work. But like, you know, relationships are a two-way street.
Oh yeah, boy are they.
But
yeah, no, I had a guy once be like, you're too successful and I'm afraid you're gonna leave me. And I was like, I mean, I don't respect you, but I respect that you told me that.
That's self-awareness.
Yeah.
You have to appreciate that. Yeah. A lot of guys
don't. You gotta go, I'm 50 and I'm not growing.
And what he's basically saying is my emotional maturity is not, it will not be compatible with yours in the end. And that's really what that is.
I didn't mind it.
That, but I think what's also so unfortunate is like when a girl is here and a guy is here, there's a societal expectation. And I think the girl subconsciously does it, but she kind of almost lowers herself.
Oh,
yeah. You know, to me, you're like, we talk about it a lot. Yes.
But he will never elevate, or it takes a special guy to be like, I need to elevate myself to be a good partner for her.
Yeah.
Because I value what she brings to the table.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And for the most part, women are not going to be like, you pathetic piece of shit. Like, no, you to be the best version of you you could possibly be. And I'm going to cheer you on the whole time. But like, do that to me too.
Yeah. It has to go both ways.
Yeah.
So my specific example, I was dating an anesthesiologist.
Ooh.
And he and I
put me to sleep, doc.
He and Sleepy I really daddy. Hit it off.
Sleepy daddy, I love that.
He and I really hit it off. You know, he spoke the language, the height requirement. He was into fitness, like great role model for my kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, one day he just was like, Beryl, I feel like the baby in the relationship.
The baby?
The baby.
The baby.
And I'm like, what? You're a 37-year-old anesthesiologist. Like, how?
He's doing well.
You're doing fine, you know, but he was
but not
like,
in here.
But not in there, you know? And it's, you know, he was like, you just know so much.
Like, what Stop kind of it. Stuff?
I think the thing what Dave.
You can get from point A to point B.
Like animal facts or like. Yeah.
But I think
you know
it's just like.
All kinds of weather shit.
Like, I think it's just being in the, like, world. I think my history in dating like doctors I've dated in the past because
I
their
mean
life
that's
is
an
so,
Indian book.
I mean it's very like yes but you know they only know medical school.
I've never even dated a male nurse.
I
don't even know if I've dated someone with health insurance.
I went on a couple dates with this Jewish guy who was a doctor.
Yeah.
He was a heart doctor who did cocaine and he asked me for Adderall. Yeah. And I was like, you're going to ask me for pills that aren't prescribed to you? And you're a doctor practicing for hearts?
Oh my God.
I got to do backup beeper right on out of this.
How many doctors have you dated?
It's a great question.
Wow, you have too many to count?
I'm fucking stunned right now.
But
I'm stunned.
It's just a lot of Gujarati guys are doctors.
Like, that's sick. A lot of white guys live at home with their mom.
I've been doing life wrong.
But a lot of them.
Fuck. Okay.
But
I'm a Jew,
but you know
so it's
what?
Not like crazy.
White guys are being doctors. Right, Jewish.
No, I know. That's why I'm so ashamed of myself in this moment.
How many Jewish guys have you dated, though? The one Jewish guy I dated was a doctor. And then one edited at a major TV show. They were pretty successful.
Yeah.
But the one that did cocaine, I'm like, I can't.
One
I
did
pills.
Just liked going to restaurants that were cool that he read about.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bad. It's okay.
Back to you. I just shocked myself. Okay.
I mean, I don't know how many, but the thing is like.
But a lot.
A lot to lose count.
Damn.
Too many,
but the thing is, it doesn't matter, you know? Well, like what ended up happening was just like, you know, some guys were like, you know, there were some natural ones where it's like, oh, you know, I don't think we're a good fit. But there were quite a few that were like, you know, I'm here and you're there, you know, and it's like because
it's surprising to that even though their career was very that's such a prestigious career that takes so much intelligence to get through medical school. And it's so still a guy still was and even open about
you being intimidated by you.
Right.
Wow, wow, wow.
A lot of times men with book smarts, though, don't have emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. I found that a lot. Like, you know, people who were just, you know, the, you know, salutatorian, they were.
What's that?
Oh, with the ranking,
like
the second.
Oh, like valedictorian?
Second in class. Yeah. Yeah. I was just, that was just like personal because I was thinking the actual person who was salutatorian in my class. But like, yeah, they just didn't have like, yeah, they could read things and do math and interpret great works of art. But if you ask them like, how are you feeling today?
Yeah. They just couldn't give you
any. Like, my Uber's here.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm actually not terribly surprised, but wow. All right. So anesthesiologist, and then he said he was the baby.
Yeah, he said he felt like the baby because I guess like he would like I had the experience of like building my own house, kind of like, you know, picking the foundation and then going from there.
Right.
And he was in the same process a little bit. And I was like giving him advice like, oh, you know, you should look out for like XYZ.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, my God, I would have never thought of that. And things
that's
like.
That's great.
So you helped him and you got that.
That's
so
great. You Ying think, and yang.
Seriously.
Look at that. My knowledge and your knowledge.
I would love if someone I dated gave me a hot tip.
Ugh.
You know, but the thing is, like, I guess it's just that insecurity. Like, oh, my God, she knows so much more than me. And
that
happened a lot in like just. I can't think of other specific.
But that's wild.
It's little shit that I thought was so insignificant, which is why I can't remember it.
Right.
But it had such an impact on him for him to be like, shit, I don't know anything. Like, I feel like the baby. And he's like literally, like this was during COVID, you know?
Wow.
And he's literally out there like on the front line of COVID, responsible for putting people to sleep and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And he still didn't feel like he was enough.
Wow, I feel like sometimes when people think that you are smarter than them, they're like, it means that they're hiding something or that they're like, they're wearing some kind of a mask or they're a fraud in some way. And they know that you're going to be able to find them out quicker.
Yeah.
I feel that.
That's a good point.
And they're unable to see all the strong qualities within themselves and step into their flaws and their strengths with a like a grounded perspective.
They just don't want to address it.
Right? Yeah. They're scared. Wait, you've never dated anybody who gave you a hot tip?
A hot tip on like stuff
life?
Like movies or like not like who taught me like a better way to live.
Right.
Sometimes when I'm like taking too long to get to the airport, I think of this one time that James said to me, Corinne, it's time to go to Ohio now, and that helps me to leave my apartment. But other than that, I've never really gained
anything. James.
Yeah. That's nothing. Nada.
Got it.
Yeah. And Rob helped me to put together a way to meet Eddie Izzard.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
So he like told me like a way to meet celebrities when they're staying at a specific hotel.
Mm. And for you, you already know how to get to celebrities.
Did it work?
In that way. So.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh,
it worked.
Okay.
Hot tip. All right.
Hell yeah.
Hell
it
yeah,
works.
Rob. When this anesthesiologist said, uh-huh, I feel like the baby, what did you say in response to him? Like, where did that conversation go?
The conversation ultimately ended up in breaking up.
Right.
But, you know.
In that same sitting?
But were you like.
Not in the same sitting.
Okay.
But I mean, I was confused because I was like, how do you not appreciate what you bring to the table when I do?
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you see me as like a high value woman, wouldn't you think it's a compliment that a high value woman is interested in you? So you not would want to be
that's
like,
what hey, I'm saying.
Wouldn't that be great if that's the world we lived in?
I
How
know.
How sick would that be?
Me liking you is Ladies, literally a huge compliment.
Right. And I don't think he ever saw it that way. And then I think he just got in his head about it and it just. And then what I noticed, and this is how I knew it was time to like really pull out, I was dumbing myself down.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, not use big words or whatever.
Damn.
Or I would, you know.
Yeah. And it goes against your integrity.
It does.
And
it does.
You're actively going against your own soul when you do that. Even if
Fuck.
It's like for me, it was so ingrained that I didn't feel it yet until like I exploded. And I'm like, why do I fucking hate you?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, because I've been lying to myself about how I react towards you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Damn.
Yeah, so I was dumbing myself down. I would pretend like I would like laugh harder at like really dumb jokes, but like, you know.
And then that eventually fades and then he expects you to keep laughing and you're like, yeah, I actually never thought that was funny to begin with.
Ever.
And he's like, fuck.
Ever.
This is why men hate me on podcasts, because I just don't do any of these things.
Yeah.
Well, you don't enter false relationships, so that's good.
That's true. So that happened to me, and then that's when I knew, like, if I can't be true to myself, no matter how great I think this guy is, it's not worth selling myself out for.
Of course.
Ever.
For sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it.
That's good. So your integrity led you to this experience with the dating show.
Mm-hmm.
And you did you know that you had chemistry with this guy from jump? Like from the moment?
I'm trying to think back to when we met. It was from the moment because he met me and my parents at the same time.
Whoa.
That was the structure of the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they were like, okay, he's going to knock on the door. And your parents are going to be on like
I'm
your
just
balcony.
Envisioning that happening yeah. to me. I mean, my dad is dead, so a seance would be involved.
Oh, that, I mean, that'd be kind of cool. You could find out if he's witchy real quick.
Just like meeting the whole family at once.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
I'd never
on
the get
show.
A date. Yeah. I'd never get a date ever in my life.
But let's see. I open the door and it's a huge bouquet of flowers. He's obviously very handsome, and so I'm just like, oh, you know. And then like I'd already seen his like. Profile, aka the bio data.
Yeah.
So I knew that he was already a lot of the things I was looking for. The physical attraction was there. And then very quickly, the chemistry was there. So I was like, I have all three. Perfect. You know, what more do
wow.
I need?
Wow. Yeah. Is it odd to assess your physical, like sexual attraction to somebody in front of your parents?
Does no.
Kill your boner?
Okay. No. For me, boner. You know, he was
it's
sitting
like
across
she was like huge
me.
Dong. Yeah.
He was sitting dick, across dude.
From, he was sitting across from me and my parents are right here. And like they were talking to him, but it's like there's some I forget the exact statistic, but like you can assess sexual compatibility or sexual interest in another human being within like 5 seconds.
Yeah,
like
that makes sense.
It's something like that. I think it's 5 seconds. I'm not 100% sure, but it's so quick and so instant that, you know, and then I just like leaned into it. I was like, you know, I haven't, you know, felt sexually, physically attracted to a guy in a long time.
Oh, isn't that the best when it's been dormant? And you're like, this beautiful feminine energy in me wants to come out. Bad and none of these guys are delivering.
And so I just leaned into it. And like, I mean, my parents, they know I'm a human. Like, yeah, you know,
good.
Like.
And you have a good relationship with your parents.
I do.
So it wasn't like you were worried about like, oh, mom's going to hate him or something like that.
No, not nice. At all. Nice. So, and like.
That makes me like them more when my parents don't like them. Like,
yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I like to call it a little trouble. Yeah.
but yeah, no, it didn't kill anything off for me. And the chemistry was pretty instant.
How much time did you get on camera? Like, did you get the equal amount of off camera time with this person as on camera?
When we became exclusive, yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes. So we met, and then after we were done filming for the day, we were like, okay, now that they're gone,
actually,
like,
hang out.
Do you want to come hang out? And he was like, yeah, sure. Well, he had initiated it. Because I was like, oh, you know, I'm not going to say anything first.
Yeah.
And so he initiated. He was like, hey, now that they're gone, like, what are you up to for the rest of the night? And then it just kind of led in like one thing to another. And then he came over and then we just literally talked for 5 hours straight.
Oh, that's
that was it. And then it was midnight and then he had to leave early in the morning the next day. So there was a lot of time early on in our relationship, I guess, most of it was on camera and then we were long distance. So it was a lot of texting, FaceTiming, all that stuff.
Right.
And then we became official. You know, he specifically asked me like, you know, I really like you. I want to date you exclusively. How do you feel about that? And then, you know, we became official.
How long did that take to become exclusive with each
other? We met on the 27th. He asked me on April 9th.
Not that long.
Yeah, very Fast. Quickly.
Okay.
Yep.
You know. It's
when you know,
really-
you know.
It's really that simple.
Yep.
It's wild.
Yep. There's no need to like wait, you know, a certain amount of time or whatever. Like it's just, again, the chemistry, the checklist.
That's what
and
I
the
say. My
attraction.
Therapist would disagree, but
really?
I also think it's what? Yes. Disagree with?
With the how I like to, I go, I know. I like to get jump really fast.
Yeah.
My therapist is like, no, absolutely not.
What?
Also, palm readers disagree, but let's not get them involved.
Yeah.
Hey, I love palm readers.
I mean, I do
they
too.
Know, I
I'm
think
trying
they
to
know
learn
a lot.
How to read palms. It's interesting. Yeah. I also imagine, too, like a lot of dating reality shows have this competitive element to it that's like one guy and 27 gals. And it's like, ugh. So it's like you really the structure of the show you were on just really cultivated like a genuine, fostered a genuine connection.
It
which
did.
Is nice.
Yeah. And I think because, again, I think the matchmaker focuses on like focusing on one person and really dedicating your time to that person until you're like, whoa, this really isn't, you know, the one.
Yeah.
Then I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Your undivided attention.
Yep.
Okay. And you said there's like some new stuff that happens in the season that hasn't come out yet that you specifically were interested in talking about.
No.
Oh, you were interested in not talking about
it. No, I was interested in, it's like he and I like we're not together.
Right.
So I want to talk about my journey after that breakup.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Breakups are the biggest teachers in our lives.
Yep.
They are some of the deepest pain. Man.
For sure. And I forget where I saw it. I'm sure it was just probably on Instagram, but it was like this comedian guy. He was like, the minute a girl and a guy break up, she will literally start the next day living her best life.
Yeah.
And I think it's so true, because what happened to me is like, you know, we broke up. I was devastated. I had all this extra time. And so I think when a breakup happens, a woman gets a lot of energy in her.
Yeah.
And you can use...
Because she realizes it was dead weight.
Dead weight. And then I think it's also like a little bit of a relief and a little bit of a, okay, I feel like a little bit revitalized. What am I going to do with this? And then I think a woman always has two options when a relationship ends. She can either use it for like a positive energy and build herself up, mm-hmm. or she can take that energy and tear that guy down.
Ooh,
you know,
I like both though, depending on how it ended.
And are you allowed to talk about like why you guys broke up or
I don't know if that is on. So I'm trying to think. So season three wraps up and it still looks like we're together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they cut it off.
Okay.
So I can't speak to that.
Yeah, of course.
But
can I ask who initiated it, or is that?
So it was, he initiated it. You know, he was like, you know, the feelings of love that I feel like should be there, they're not.
And it's so tricky when the chemistry is there and the right. love, and you're like, what the fuck?
Right.
Is this thing on?
But what, you know, what? In hindsight, he's a non-committal person.
Oh,
and the patterns were always there. I felt.
How, mm-hmm. in what ways did they show up that you can look back and go, oh, okay, there's the crumbs.
They didn't show up with me, but what I noticed is like in a lot of scenarios, like there would be, you know, obviously like when you have active social life, like you have competing, you know, multiple things like a birthday and like a baby shower fall on the same day.
Sure.
You know, he would make plans like, oh, okay, I'm going to go to the baby shower, but then a birthday would come up. And then he would just like swing to the birthday.
Oh, and not go to the baby shower.
And not go to the baby shower. And then I was like, okay, not only did you already make plans to go to this baby shower, you told me that that was your plan. You have the people whose baby shower it is think you're coming.
Expect you
there. And then to me, it's like, okay, you have the family value of going to a baby shower. And like as a guy.
Yeah,
right. So I'm like, okay. But then when he just like swung like total 180, like, oh, okay, I'm going to go to this birthday party instead. It's like, what do you, A, it goes back to like, what do you really value?
Yeah.
You know?
What are you about?
Exactly. And I think a lot of people say like, oh, I have family values. But one thing I learned in this breakup, someone will show you what their values are. Just date them long enough. Don't ever ask a guy what he values, because he's going to say all the same shit, right?
Yeah.
He's going to say what you wanted to hear.
Exactly.
No one's going to be like, fuck family.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's get wasted.
Yeah.
Fuck a baby shower.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he, you know, he told me that like, you know, he has these family values. He values like health and wellness. But, you know, I started seeing like, you know, he was ditching family for a fun
getting
party.
Getting boozed up with a friend.
Exactly. getting boozed up.
Yeah.
That's literally it. Mm-hmm. And then so I was like, so when he initiated it, I was like, you know, fine, fuck it. Like,
right.
Like, I wanted to work on it. And a part of me did, you know, I still stayed in that relationship 100%. Like, my eyes were only for him, even at the very last day of the relationship.
Mm.
Don't know if I can say the same for him. And that's also another reason, you know, it's just like over. It's just not worth fighting for at that point.
Sure. Yeah. Because that person needs to be like passionately in it too.
Yeah. Agree.
Or otherwise, you're fighting for nothing.
Yep.
A one way street is. Whew,
and I think there's an added layer of complexity when you're doing it on a reality TV show sometimes people just want fame.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, I would be paranoid the whole time that the other person was like faking, like liking me.
That wouldn't even cross my mind.
To be on TV. It would be so hard for me to let my guard down. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I would say like, I think people, like I'm always thinking people have a crush on me. So it's not, but it, like in this specific like arena, I would never trust anyone. Like, so did you find that like coming up, or did it only come up after you guys broke up?
So it didn't come up at all in the relationship, because I knew our relationship off camera and on camera, you know, and it was the same. And, you know, the conversations he and I would have off camera were still driving the relationship forward.
Sure.
You know, and Netflix would just hear about it. So, for example, in season three, I go to India to meet his parents. I'm the first girl who's ever met his parents. But he asked me to go totally off camera. He was like, hey, you know, would you want to come to India to meet my parents? And since that's happening off camera, I know my relationship is real. And then Netflix, they come in, they check in on you and they're like, hey, how's your relationship going? And I'm like, oh, it's going well. He asked me to go to India to meet his parents. And they were like, will you
recreate that?
Like, will you move that up? Because we're going to already be in India. How do you guys feel about like just
sticking within our budget plan? Huh?
And there's no part of you that thought producers secretly asked him to ask you to go to India?
No.
No.
Okay. No, because it was a pre-planned vacation before he was ever on the show.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Yep. Okay. Good. Yep. Good, good. That's good to get a little check.
Yes. Yes. And then the show comes out and then people start changing, right? Because then...
Oh, right, right, right.
Right, because you suddenly get all this attention. You have all these eyes on you.
And you get feedback on your own behavior.
And it's just...
Oh, yeah.
True.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I guess it's just at that point, things started shifting.
Did he like, was he like walking around the house in sunglasses? Well, like, no, but
the energy of a guy, the energy of somebody who like committed to go to a family baby shower and then a friend's birthday party to get wasted comes along. And, wait! That person, especially a guy, made famous. Ooh, that's the kind of ego that seems a little volatile for love.
Yeah, no, it's so true.
For monogamous
love. It's so true. I look at him now and I'm like, I don't recognize this person at all.
That's so sad.
It's so sad because like when I watch the season three trailer, we are so in love.
Yeah, and it's genuine.
And it's genuine and it's real. Like it 1000% is real. No one is ever going to convince me otherwise. No,
right.
No troll on the internet is ever going to tell me that my relationship was fake. But when I see that, I'm like, I don't recognize that guy who I was dating.
Damn. So you had to like grieve that version of him existed. It's not like, this is who I thought you were. No. It's who he was.
It's who he was.
But he got morphed by something that's like famous. Yep. So, oh boy.
It's scary.
It can be really fucked
up. If you're not very self-assured and secure and self-aware, it will literally change who you are.
Yeah.
And then you start like people pleasing. And then when you say yes to everyone, you're saying no to yourself.
Yeah.
So, so that's really unfortunate. And so now watching the show back, it's like I have to relive this. But not only is it grieving a relationship that didn't lead to marriage, it's also grieving someone who I fell in love with that doesn't exist but is still alive.
Yeah.
That's so awful.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate. Oof. I don't recognize this guy at all.
Damn, oof. Dude. Fame is one of those, fame is like meth.
Yeah.
To some people, not to everybody. Like, I don't know if there's anybody that can handle meth, but like, there's a lot of people who can handle fame and be really responsible with it and go, oh, I'm getting too ego. I'm getting too cocky.
Yeah.
Stop.
They can check theirself.
Got to meditate. We got to be humble, you know, but man, that's a bummer.
It's a real bummer.
You live in New York now.
I do.
Dating's probably, have you tried dating yet?
I've only been here a day.
Oh. You moved from North Carolina to, okay.
Yesterday.
I thought you moved boroughs yesterday.
No.
Shit.
I literally.
Oh my God, thanks for coming in.
And that's another thing with the breakup, you know, a woman gets that energy. And so I was like.
New York's a good city for that energy.
It just fueled it. And I was like, you know what? When the show comes out, I'm not going to let, you know, anyone push me out of the conversation just because I'm in North Carolina. I'm going to position myself to get the most opportunities I can when the show comes out. Because a lot of things did happen, but it's like, I can't keep flying up for these events.
Yeah.
You know, that just doesn't make sense for me. So I was
the energy of New York City is such a beautiful, it can
cheer you up. It's intoxicating.
But you are already in such a good place with yourself that like, you can only go up from here. And like
that's the hope.
It's just full of, the city's full of bad bitches.
I was saying, I think you'll be more appreciated as a powerful woman here. I mean, it's still tough for sure, but I think it'll be a little bit easier.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I downloaded a dating app before I got up here. No likes. So we'll,
have you got,
we'll see.
Is it one of those GPS ones where it has to like...
I mean, I put my location as New York.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I'm back in that cycle, you know, where it's like I'm still not getting hits.
But is there a filter on the other end? Like there just wouldn't be a ton of that type of guy? Like are you... Is it still an Indian only?
That's not even on there. It's just like the age.
Oh.
And you're South Asian...
Oh, that's a wide pool.
I think that's it. It's a wide pool. So I don't know. We'll see. But maybe people think my profile is fake. I don't know.
Hmm. Oh, because you're on the show?
Yeah,
because
they're like,
right. Oh, right. You know what? Yeah. Because some apps do have fake profiles and it's like, that must be really frustrating.
Yeah, because I remember one guy from a different season. He had the app and then he wouldn't respond to some girls and they would report him as a fake app.
Oh, wow.
And then he wasn't able to like get back on. And then he had to like contact the app and be like, hey, this is actually me. Like, what's going on? You know? And so there's that layer of flexibility.
Could you contact that woman who was the matchmaker and be like, hey, girl, I moved to New York. You know anybody?
Mm-hmm. I mean, she has reached out. Like, her and I are in touch. She's coming here next month in May.
And she should totally set you up again.
I want to meet her.
But off camera for like your heart, you know, not for the people.
And that's what she told me. She was like, are you still interested? Like, you know, cameras aside, are you still interested in like trying to.
She loves her work.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. She really does. She's in it for the genuine nature of her of connecting two people.
I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
So, yeah, I have to like, she told me to like, you know, just keep her in the loop about like what's going on. But yeah, so the breakup happened. And the first thing I did was I was like, you know what? I'm going to move to New York.
Nice.
Check one. Okay. Then it's like, okay, how am I going to do that? All right. Well, I own this home here. I got to find a tenant.
Yeah.
So I start finding a tenant. I found a great tenant. She's amazing. Found a spot here for the same price as what my tenant's paying.
Perfect.
So that's great.
Incredible.
And then I just started throwing myself into like fitness and working out and then eating healthy because I had all this new time on my hand, my hands. Because all I would do, like when I would fly back to North Carolina, I would be like, okay, when's the next time I'm going to New York? Or when's the next time we're seeing each other? Like, I think women drive that conversation a lot. They're like, okay, like what's next for us?
We love driving that.
Yeah, yeah. Progress, baby. You got to be making it at all times.
Yeah, yep. Otherwise we feel like we're standing still. Yeah. Like, what are we doing? Well, I'm wasting my time. And so it was always that conversation. But now that conversation suddenly came to a stop. I've been dating this guy for like 8-9 months. And, you know, over time that becomes a habit. So you're like, what do I do? All my friends had left North Carolina by either getting married or going to like travel nursing. I have a lot of nurse friends. They traveled. And for the same reasons, you know, the dating sucks. There's more money to be made somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to go. And like, I really admire them for that. Or they left for like furthering their career, furthering their education.
Yeah.
So I was like, no one's here. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Ride
that wave of that freshly broken up energy. Yep,
exactly.
It's so funny because now, like, I was talking to a woman in her early 20s last week who had just gone through a breakup of 6 years. And my first, I gauged, you know, how she was, you know, doing in the moment. She wasn't like openly devastated, but the first thing out of my mouth was congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you. She might consider moving to New York too. And I'm like, I love, cause you're so right. Like women kind of blossom.
They do.
When they end a relationship especially of that nature where it feels like the guy was just dead weight, you know, for lack of a better term.
And I think another thing to pay attention to when you're dating someone is like, do they bring out the best in you or do they bring out the worst in you? You know, like I'm not a heavy drinker, but I started noticing that like he, you know, I would drink more dating him or I would like read less. And like everyone knows I love to read. Mm. And so I was like,
that's the saddest thing ever. I have a boyfriend and now I read less.
I know. Like I just, that's it.
So true though. Yes.
Like I'm not elevating my life anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, if I'm not elevating my life, like, and I think that's why I wasn't when he was like, oh, you know, what I feel should be there is not there. I think that's why I didn't push it so hard. Cause I was like, you know what? You bring out the worst in me or you bring out parts of me I don't even like, or my values are shifting to yours versus the other way around.
Yeah.
And that's not cool.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Your graph is going like this and mine's just going. That's frustrating.
Yep.
I'm excited for your dating adventures in New York.
Me too.
Motherfuckers can handle women here better. Dating, I think, is like the key to dating is just approaching it with a sense of humor. Because that way, if the date sucks, like, okay, I'll just take the time to be curious about like, what the fuck? How are you raised, dipshit? Like, you know, like, what?
I guess
know.
It's easier though when you're a comedian and you can like the make money off of the bad
choice. Yeah, true.
I guess you're right.
But yeah, I know. Anytime I'm having a bad time, I'm like, well, this will be a 5-minute bit in my on stage.
We're literally turning bad dates into money. So
it's a fun way to
do it. Yeah. Because if you're known from the show and stuff. That's so cool. Did you have any other questions?
I think I'm breaking out.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell the people where we can find you online.
Okay. I don't have a huge online presence. My only social media, which is good.
Yes.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. My only social media is like viraljoshi_ on Instagram. And that is it.
Other than that, she's reading.
Other than that, I'm reading.
Let her fucking read.
Let her read.
Please.
Oh my God. Oh wait. Yeah. Last question. What's the last thing you read that you love? People always ask us for a book recommendation.
I love reading. Oh my God, I've been devouring books lately.
I'm trying to think what would be the most the most beneficial book I've ever read. It's not the most recent book I read, but it's called The Geography of Bliss by Eric Weiner.
Ooh. Okay.
And what
Eric Weiner?
Yeah. Nice. I think he was an NPR reporter. Uh-huh. I think something like that.
The Geography of Bliss. Ooh.
Yes. It's such an underrated book. But what he does is he's like, where are people the most happy in the world? And so he partners up with a scientist who studies happiness. I think that guy's in Denmark. And they evaluate all these parameters for happiness. It's like, is it the country with the best food? Is it the country with the most money? Mm-hmm. And then so what Eric Weiner does is he goes to these countries that have these parameters. And then inversely, he goes to the country that is considered the saddest country in the world.
Is that here?
No, it's Moldova.
Oh, okay.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww,
I'm sorry, Moldova.
I know, it's really sad. And then at the end, you know, he travels to multiple places. And then at the end of the book, he tells you where he found happiness, like which country is the happiest.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an interesting read for people. And I learned a lot about myself.
I love A Mirror to Humanity. Mm-hmm. That's great.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
Guys, this has been Guys, We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys, We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
2 a.m. came and went. Let this buzz go to my head. This high don't wanna come down. Soon, we don't have to stop the music as long as we're right here, right now. Somewhere the dusk and dawn come together. There's a time that goes on forever. My head's been spinning and I feel all right. We've been getting down to the little hours of the night. Little hours of the night.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.